Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things each week that make you say a thing. That's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Oh, man. We all sound like we just woke up, not just Eli, who did just wake up. Thank you, Shelby. We needed that.
1:44 p.m. on Sunday, just for the record.
Okay, well, we need to start naming times.
Can't wake up! Wake up!
That sound clip was all of us texting Eli at once for an hour.
Like, is that like Mufasa? Is that Simba to Mufasa and the Lion King?
Wake up!
Okay, you know, when we all record at one and we're all like barely up, but now you add 44 minutes or whatever to that, and now it's just, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I'm a sleepy boy. This is true. This is true.
The important thing is we're all here, and it doesn't matter how many texts we received prior to being here about how we needed to be here. We're all together. That's what matters.
That's right.
Well, the worst thing is like when your phone dies or something, and then you're just like I woke up and I was like, oh, time to plug this in and get barraged with things that I deservedly have gotten yelled at for.
That's the thing, is like when that happens to you, because it takes a minute for your phone to turn on, and then it takes another minute for it to like load
to
all
connect
the things
to the network,
and you're
and
like
download my barrage. Yes,
yeah, like you know what's coming. Like I've absolutely been in that position before, and it's like I know like roughly the amount of frantic missed calls I'm going to have, and they're all going to come in at once.
Yeah, that was like that was the turning point in the investigation. It was like, well, he'll probably be here. And then it's like, did you try to call him? It's like, yeah, I went straight to voicemail. It's like, okay, well, okay, so we're dealing with dead phone, maybe lost phone, we don't know, you know. It could be, yeah, it was just the possibilities, sort of the universe opened quite a bit at that point. So yeah,
we were while we were waiting for you, we were like, well, he'll probably wake up eventually, but let's just record the bonus, just the two of us, and then by the time we do the main episode, he'll be awake. But because we didn't know for sure that you were alive, we were like, we can't do a whole bonus of like Eli fell off a cliff, because like, what if Eli found a cliff in New York and he fell off it?
I fell into the Gowanus Canal last night.
Exactly.
No. He fell off of one of those cliffs all the way up on the West Side Highway, kind of by like,
yeah,
like
the Palisades.
By Columbia up there.
Yep.
That's what really woke me up, was just a note. I was like, someone's about to record a bonus. And I shot up out of dark sleep. Yeah.
I like the idea of us getting copyright struck for playing the waking up music. I always forget which symphony or whatever that is, but just like, okay, yep. It's like the estate of so-and-so.
The morning song. Yeah.
Or whoever recorded it has the rights to the recording. It's probably, I would suspect the composer is long dead.
Elmer Fudd, right? That's who owns that?
I mean, it's definitely the music from Godzilla vs. Bambi, which was an animated short that appeared before the Godzilla 1985 VHS. That's what I associate it most with. And it's just Bambi getting stomped on by Godzilla, and then it continues. So,
yeah.
Godzilla killing Bambi? That's all it was?
It was like just like Bambi like doing like deer stuff, kind of like nibbling on flowers and stuff, and kind of, you know, just being cute and for like a, like, you know, 15-20 seconds, and then just a giant Godzilla foot comes down.
Damn. Then, Bambi has been through enough. Don't do that to Bambi.
Yeah.
Bambi had a tough life. That's hurtful.
When's the time you saw Bambi?
Bambi had the one main thing, I guess. And then was just most of it was regular deer stuff. But
the main thing was pretty bad, though.
Like, yeah,
that's some trauma. I think the last time I saw Bambi, I'm gonna say 25 years ago. Probably.
Yeah, you don't need to see it again.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, I feel like it's not
due for a rewatch.
It's one of those like cultural touchstones where you're like, you gotta rewatch Bambi.
Yeah,
like,
I think Bambi has aged okay in the sense there's not like a jive talking animal or something that it's like, oh boy. Yeah. Unlike Dumbo or whatever, you know, or one of the other things. It's like, no, they're just, you know, it's just kid stuff. You know, it's not, it's fine. It's not like, there's not like a, yeah, like.
There is, yeah, like a, in Like every Disney movie made before like 1985, there is a Hepcat animal that is like very racist for some reason. Like every one of them.
I'm cool and racist. Those are my two things.
Yeah. My two main attributes. And I'm a weird animal as well. Those are my three attributes.
I was like a couple nights ago, I was hanging out and I did like a foghorn leghorn for whatever reason. Like I like was doing a bit on it. And then somebody came by and was like accusing it of being like a racist. They're like, are you doing a racist voice? And I was like, I'm doing foghorn leghorn. And then it just got into a way more confusing discussion of like,
is foghorn leghorn a racist voice? Is foghorn
leghorn racist? And like, I was like, well, he's a chicken, right? That's his main thing. So I don't think so.
Yeah, but I don't know what ethnicity, like, I don't know what ethnicity he is apart from being a chicken.
Yeah.
I remember when like Jeff Sessions was first nominated to be, for the cabinet, this is like 4 years ago now or whatever it was. But like, I made a comment about how his name was like Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III or something like that. And someone was like, let's pick something else to make fun of except for names, okay? Like that was somehow... And it's like, are you kidding me right now with this? Like,
hey, buddy. I just logged on to ruin your day.
Like, we're doing... that's what we're... Okay, sure.
Looks like
you're right.
We've got
an
oppressor on our hands.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. That... Yeah. I mean, I get like... Yes, if you can't make fun of a name if it's from like if it's in another language or like another culture where it's like, oh, that name sounds funny to me, but it's like rich white guy names, don't take that away from
us. And like
us.
He's the guy who wants to keep all the people from other countries out.
Right.
That was like his whole thing. So I think it's okay to make fun of him, you know.
I just hope we never get that taken away, cuz I love making fun of people's names. There are a lot of really good, stupid names out there that it's important for me to be able to laugh at.
They brought it upon themselves. My middle name is also Beauregard. I'll just want to cover that.
What is your middle name?
I don't want, not on the pod.
You want to say? OPSEC?
He doesn't want to dox himself. There's many Eli Udens out there. He doesn't want to.
No, my middle name is Moses. So.
Oh, you have such a Jewish name.
Oh, I have a whole bit about it. Please do not tweet at me with bits on my middle name. I will not fave them. We'll move along.
I have like, I feel like I have that for Catholicism, so I can't judge. I'm a Catherine Elizabeth, which is like what every Catholic is named. That's all of us. So
no, but like it feels so precious, but it's like fairly useless information. Like, but. I'm legitimately like, I shouldn't say it in public. They'll be able to track me down. They'll steal my identity now that they have my middle name.
I think it is sort of important information if you have a common name, because it can like differentiate you. But like, I'm the only person in the world with my name, so it kind of doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But like,
the only person
I feel
in
like
the
if
world?
I were yeah yeah that I am the only person who has any sort of like. Footprint that is available through the internet with my name. So, but if my name were Patrick Monahan, I would probably not tell people my middle name, because it's like, you don't know which one it is. I could be the train guy. You don't know.
That's
you know?
Right. Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Finally.
No way to tell.
Opening up. Revealing.
You've been lying this whole time about not being the train guy.
I'm so surprised that there are more, because I have other, there's other Eli Udens. I'm surprised that there's not a single Catherine Barbadoro.
My last name is really uncommon. Like, even in Italy, it's not common. So, it's, they're
they think
not that
you're
many
lying if you go there. You're like, I'm one of you. They're like, what's your last name? Barbadoro. Oh, sure. Okay.
There's like one village where there's a bunch of them, and then like kind of nowhere else. So, I don't even think there's any like Caterina Barbadoros or anything. Like, it's just, there's not that many of us. Most of the ones in the U.S. I can figure out how I'm related to pretty quickly. Like, that's how few of them there are. So basically what I'm saying is I'm extremely easy to, like, dox or, like, find or stalk or, like, find information on. So that's good.
Yeah, the intro to this episode, the dox files.
Seriously, this is just...
I don't know. I should probably worry about it more, but
we're taking
I don't.
Ourselves out here.
Sure.
Yeah, Kat's like, if you find an address for Kath Barbadoro,
it's definitely mine. Yeah.
Somebody's just drawing a bead on me right now. There's a red dot moving up my chest.
I mean, like, we should all be paying for that service that takes you off those, like, public record sites. You know what I mean? Like,
it is crazy what you can find on there for
because
free.
It's just like that stuff. Well, it's all perfectly legal. It's like, okay, well, somebody should still drone strike wherever the servers are hosted for these yeah. places. Because, like, I'm sorry, there's no legitimate, like, process servers have other methods, you know what I mean? Or whoever, you know, private investigators. We don't need, like, random shitbags on the internet being able to find out all this information about where people live. Like,
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know.
Just some it's fucked no up good. Small business that's like, I have everyone's address. It's like, cool. Nice. Yeah. Very cool.
But. If you don't know about those sites, don't go look at them.
Don't look into it. Yeah. Do not look for our information on there. Thank you.
Or live in New York and move constantly so that I would be half sure that they still are like, I'd be like, I haven't lived there in 2 years.
Oh my God. I live in a 3-bedroom apartment that's had like a fair.
Truly
I've lived here
the
for,
docs files.
Well, Kath.
And if you go to Kath's building, as we've established before, she'll just buzz you in.
I'll let you in. Yeah. But so I live in an apartment with a lot of rooms, and before I moved in, there was a lot of turnover. So I get mail for probably 15 people. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just constant, a barrage of mail for people who don't live here anymore, who I like, I feel like I have some cosmic connection to, because it's like,
these names are
so familiar to me now because I get all their mail. It's like,
yeah, no one in New York has ever changed their address, like, officially. Every apartment I've ever lived in, I know old people that used to live in my apartment by name because of the sheer amount of mail that I get for different people.
It's crazy. I mean, I think if I...
Himanshu Sharma, you and all your fucking mail.
You like getting mail
calling
much?
Them out. Yeah. Calling them
mail
out.
Mail much, my good bitch. Himanshu. Yeah.
Manchu Sharma, you're on fucking notice. You hear this?
If you That's listen, right. change your address. Well, I moved, so I don't care anymore. But, hoo boy.
Guy well, that's, I feel mail. Like if I lived in a one bedroom, I would get less. Like, I think it's because I have multiple, like, there have always been 3 adults living here. So it's like triple the mail. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah, anyway. I haven't. I'm trying to remember the last time I got, like, other people's mail. I somehow get, like, there's stuff for, like, my, yeah, I get, like, weird stuff for, like, people that are, I think, like, my mom gets stuff addressed to me sometimes, even though she's never lived, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on.
You get, emails that aren't for you.
That's true. I have a,
which I never have happened to me.
I changed my Verizon email address for my account now because somebody named Patricia something or other, like, signed up with the same email address and it let her do it. And I'm getting, like, I'm getting emails about, like, porting over her number and important stuff. And it's like, look, you know, I've done this before with, like, Banco Santander, like, sent me stuff for somebody in Spanish. And I, like, went to their help thing and was like, hi, I'm not Patricia Morales or whatever. Like, can you notify her some other way? Like, I'm going to mark these as spam. And they were just like, I had to, like, dust off my Spanish to try to, like, communicate in this chat, and they were just like, I don't understand what the problem is. And I was like, all right, then I did what I could. You know, sorry, lady, you're never going to get in your bank account again or whatever. You know, and it's the same thing with this. Like, you're not going to have your access to your phone because you don't know your own fucking email address. Are you 100 years old? I don't understand.
I have
pecked out an email address. Like, come and she messed on. Up one letter.
Give me a break.
I have a friend with a very common name who has a similar problem, and apparently, like, she's been getting stuff for, like, psychics. Like, whoever this person was, like, so bad at the internet and such a rube that they, like, signed up for some sort of psychic mailing list.
Oh, I got a couple
with
of those.
The wrong email. And it's like, we have a special connection, Sarah. And it's like,
it's not Michelle, is it? Because I get constant emails about light transmissions that I don't know how to stop.
No, I got a couple different ones from, like, a guy was just named, like, Gregory or something. And he's got, like, this weird, like, beatific smile on his face. And it's like, yeah, like, it's exactly what you're talking about, Kath. Like, I have to prepare a special reading for you, Patricia, or whatever. And it's like, 2 different kinds of that guy, too, I've gotten. And it's like... You know, I need to just move everything off this email, off, you know, just get it, clean it out. You know, the problem is changing the email address is, like, such a especially after years and years and years, it's like you have to always have it like available as like a, you know, be able to check it, and maybe you have stuff get forwarded to you. And so it just never really ends, you know, over time. But yeah, I should probably figure that out. But yeah, I've gotten those weird little like astrology guru, like, you know, whatever spam list you sign up for. And it's like, I'm working on a personal reading. It's like, okay.
It's weird to me that I don't get those, because like based on my internet habits, I feel like they would think I'm a mark. Like, because I like tarot and like horoscopes and stuff like that. Like, well, I feel like somebody would have bought my info, you know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, this was somebody who signed up for it. So it was like a, yeah, like asking for.
That is like probably a big hazard of that job, is like the people who sign up for stuff like that are so clueless that they're probably putting in the wrong email like a third of the time. So. Yeah.
I definitely get to that point also where you just want to, like, there's so many people that have gotten my email somehow that you just want to, like, airlock it. You want to just, like, just visualize, just, like, just.
I get so much fucking spam.
Disconnecting and, like, a bunch of, like, an escape pod drifting into deep space with some guy, like, plastered against the window, like, I have a reading for you. It's like, goodbye forever, please.
I don't even know how you would do it. Like, I guess you. Like, you
just disappear.
Do you send an email to people that you like care if they have your new email, or do you even bother? Or you just like say, I'm not using that anymore as it comes up? I guess maybe that's how you do it. You just, because like, you know, I'm not going to notify people that I haven't emailed in 10 years, you know, that I'm friendly with or whatever, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And like, how do you even, like, there are people that I'm like good friends with that I see like, you know, a few times a week. I've never emailed them. Like,
right.
I don't know. It's a problem. Should we do numbers?
Yes.
Let's do it. Now that we've pinpointed ourselves.
Now that we've, now that everyone knows where we live and we've taken the concept of emails to task.
Take that, emails.
Number five
comes to us from the world of Idaho local news. Rathdrum, Idaho is the name of the town.
The world of Idaho.
The world of Idaho.
The Idaho extended universe.
And there was a...
the Idaho cinematic universe.
I think I did a very good job of making it seem very normal that I thought maybe there was a credit for this, and I had to quickly check, and then I didn't need to give a credit. So,
no, I'm just enjoying the Idaho cinematic universe world. Hawkeye is here. Only Hawkeye.
This is the Idaho timeline. It's like a different Hawkeye. He's dead in the other timeline, but he's like in Idaho in this one.
That's right.
Complicated.
That's right. So this there's a crash. I guess a GMC Yukon towing a trailer. I guess got hit. Like the car was with the truck with the trailer was trying to turn onto a highway or something, and then it got hit by a car. And there was a dog that was ejected from the rear of the GMC Yukon and went missing. And it was a 2-year-old Border Collie heeler mix going by the name Tilly. And they have all the information about Tilly. And she was last seen running northwest from the crash scene through the field, I guess, after being just, you know, just
thrown clear
out of this car. Yeah. you know, happy update to this story. Tilly was found. And it's a he, and he was found on a sheep farm where he apparently had just sort of started freelancing as a sheep herder. So he was just just herding sheep. And this is the kind of thing that, like, you know, and he's lost some weight since the crash, drinking lots of water. He was missing for a few days, I guess, but he's otherwise healthy, so he's doing good. But
drinking lots of water is so funny.
Staying hydrated.
For being in a car crash.
Well, he's, you know, he was a little dehydrated probably just from running around on this farm. But
a friendly Idaho shepherd took him in. It's like he found these sheep and we're like, these are mine now.
And that's what, that's the thing. Like, that's what you got to do. When you're that kind of dog, that's just in your brain. I don't know. But it's just like, I got to do this. And like, you do it.
It's like exactly like if I were thrown from a car crash and then I just wandered into a podcast and I just started podcasting, you know? Yeah,
that's it.
Or I had to get on stage in front of those sheep because I just have that hustle in me, you know?
That's
got to do it. Just bleeding from the ear while I'm recording an Idaho podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a very sort of like Jason Bourne situation where this dog's just herding sheep in the countryside.
Like,
oh, Jesus Christ, that's Tilly.
It's, I mean, it's just like, yeah, like the dog, pro- I mean, dogs like that, like Aussies and other kind of like shepherding type dogs, they like do that with their families, like the people they live with. They like make sure, they want to need to make sure where everyone is. They kind of get them all at one location and stuff. So like, they're already doing that all the time anyway. That's like how they like envision the world, like a Tetris game or something, where they're just kind of like, we have to make all the pieces fit. And then you get in this situation, it's like, thank God I can fix this, you know, type thing.
Yeah, a lot of those types of dogs, like they're actually not good to get if you have little kids, because they'll just herd the little kids around.
They'll herd them.
Yeah, like we used to take care of my neighbor's dog when my neighbors would go out of town as a kid, and he would nip at my brother's feet, because like he clearly sussed out that my brother was the lowest on the totem pole and was like, I gotta herd this one.
Well, maybe you're. Brother should get in fucking line and get in the herd.
Yeah,
start behaving.
Just but yeah,
running
no,
laps
it's
around him in the living room.
it's like you know, when veterans come back from war and it's like they can't. They're like, I only feel normal when I'm back in combat. That's these dogs herding sheep. They're just
right.
Like,
just Tilly standing in the supermarket as the film ends.
Yes.
Yeah, just Hurt Locker style. Yeah. Not happy with being home with his dog wife and little puppy. wants to be out there chasing sheep around. Mm-hmm. But Tilly's good, apparently. So
they found Tilly. I'm assuming Tilly was not a working dog before this, right? Like just somebody's dog
I don't have that level of detail, but I that's my impression. It's just kind of like he just kind of took off and, yeah, I think I don't think it would be as of note maybe if it was something that, yeah, but it's just hardwired in the brain.
He's also only two, so it's like,
yeah,
very young.
It's just in there. Yeah. It's just in his brain. I just looked up a picture of Tilly.
He's looking good.
Very cute.
Yeah. Also, we got to stop this thing where they're like, weighs approximately 70 pounds, as if that's going to help anybody. When people give dogs weights, it's so foreign and it's just absolute useless information. Like, I have no idea.
Is this a common thing? Do you like, are you reading dogs' weights a lot?
Well, like, when people put up like missing things sometimes, they're like, approximately 70 pounds. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll make sure to weigh a dog if I find it. Like,
I think it's messed up how they always give the female dogs ages, which they don't give for the male dogs.
It is. It's hurtful when they say that.
Well, how's that relevant to this? Yeah. Looks like Tilly was just like a dog that lived on like a, you know, in the like a farmish house.
Yeah, because the picture of him is just like he's chilling inside next to a nice fireplace. Like it just looks like somebody's pet, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a whole the local news story. They're going nuts. They got the guy who found him on the phone. They had an interview with the family, you know. So they really they drilled down on this because it's a, you know, it's a good story, good ending.
It is. It's very heartwarming.
And yeah, he's like, is there like a dog out there? What's going on? Why are all the
like, hey, where are all my sheep in one place? What's going
on? So apparently the people who found Tilly were they had an Australian shepherd who they used to herd their sheep who looked kind of like Tilly named Huey. And they were like, hold on, that's not Huey. That's an imposter. And then
they found... seeing double. Four Tillies.
Yeah. I just think that's like... there's like a meme post. I don't know if it's real because I never saw any backstory of it. But it was like a guy lost his cat and then his cat came back. And then like 2 weeks later, a cat that looked exactly the same came back. And he's like, well, now I don't know. Like, I don't understand this. It was a picture of two cats that looked like basically identical. He was like, I thought my cat came back a few weeks ago, but now there's this other one. So I feel like that's Tilly and Huey.
The cat wandered into the prestige machine.
Yeah. It's just every couple weeks they release a new one back to this house until he has
The cat was named the Great Danton, so that was the that's the giveaway. There.
Folks, check it off. Another prestige reference.
The prestige reference has been achieved.
You did it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be difficult with a cat too. It's like, oh, they both love eating cat food and shitting in a box. Those were my old cat's favorite things.
It's so funny, like, because I, you know, I love my cat. She's the best. I will post pictures of her on Twitter all the time. And people will reply and be like, oh, my God, she looks just like my cat. And it's like, yeah.
She's a cat.
They all kind of look alike. Like, look, I'll always look at a picture of a cat, like, happy to see it. But it is like, yeah, all tabby cats, like, pretty much look the same. There's not a whole lot of variation going on.
Mm-hmm. Cats, you know, in general, unless you got one of those skinless ones. That's the freaking
skinless.
Out.
Ooh,
not.
You got like Mr. Body, but a cat.
That's right. You got the hairless. Egyptian cats.
Yeah.
You got the Garfield cat. You got a black and white cat, a little tuxedo cat. Then like just like gray cat, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's like the brown and gray cat. And those are the main ones.
Those are the main ones. Yeah. You got your tabbies. You got your calicos. You got your Garfields,
species.
You got your
gray one,
and then you have like your weird flat face guys too. That's like
the Scottish, the Scottish folds.
No, I was thinking more like the Persians, like the really fluffy ones that look like Wilford Brimley.
Oh, the fancy feast ass.
Yes,
the fancy feast ass cats.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That, like, when we went to see Meet the Breeds, and there was like a cat section, and it was like one.
Get
room.
Out.
Get the fuck out of here.
What are you
I
doing
don't know.
Here?
Remember when we saw them do all those tricks?
This isn't for you, cats.
Remember when we saw the like them doing all the tricks, though? That really blew my mind. Did you guys watch that with me? I might have been with friend of the show, David Citrick, and not you guys.
Cats doing tricks? Maybe,
I was like,
no,
I was a little high,
maybe,
and I watched cat acrobatics, and it blew my mind. It was insane. I'll post a picture.
Cats would listen to anyone is interesting enough.
My idea of cat acrobatics is people just like throwing cats into a soft surface and just be like seeing what they do in there.
I'd also watch that. That sounds fun. But no, shout out to my cat Zelda. She went to the vet the other day. She was so nice to them. I was so proud. Clean bill of health. She will be with us for many years, throwing up her food immediately after eating it. And thank goodness for that.
Oh, yeah. Love to see a cat just throw up.
Yeah.
When you're over somewhere. Hey, yep. Man.
Love it when when they start doing that like weird body wave where you know it's coming, and so you frantically grab them and throw them off of your bed so
they're,
that they don't.
They're like weird
barf
little
on your comforter.
Weird little cat breakdance pop and lock that ends in vomit. And you're like, okay, cool, very nice.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for this.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Should we do number four?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Best of luck to Tilly. Thank you to Tilly for your service.
We love you, Tilly.
Number four.
Okay, number four. This makes me very jealous of people who live in countries that don't have at-will employment, because this story is about a bus driver in England. This story comes to us from Average Gatsby in the Discord. So this bus driver, he's 66 years old, from a town called Tyne and Wear, which sounds completely fake. He called in sick to his driving job, and you know, he did the I have a lung condition. That's what he told him. I have a lung condition. But he was then later seen drinking and smoking down the pub, and for this offense, he was fired. But here's where the twist happens. He apparently took them to court for firing him, and he won. The judge says that unless he was specifically forbidden from socializing while ill by his employer, he was free to do what he liked after he called in sick. So the company that employed him is like paying him restitution for firing him, which I think is like pretty sick. They had like a whole argument of, you know, whether you can go down the pub on antibiotics or, you know, if that's a breach of breach of calling in sick etiquette. So yeah, I just think this is rad because this would never happen here. You would just get fired, and that would be the end of that. You would have absolutely no recourse. And
I mean, they could fire you because they don't like the color of your shirt.
Yeah,
lung condition is a weird one to just like, hey boss, not feeling well. Like, when you mean lung condition, do you mean like a chronic thing, or did he mean just like I got like a chest bug or something?
Yeah,
It just says Mr. Kane was suffering from a serious lung condition at the time and told bosses he spent the day, quote, in bed with his chest, which that just means he was like sucking on some titties or something. But
yeah. It says he has a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, if you have COPD, you probably shouldn't smoke generally. So that's just...
Yeah, the smoking is definitely...
But it's a free country, my friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't get fired for doing something stupid for your health. Like,
I'm a little worried about this idea that, like, I don't love the language. Well, they didn't tell him he couldn't socialize while he was out sick. Like, can your boss mandate what you do when you're out sick? It's like, I'm not sick, man. I'm not on the clock.
Like, yeah, I think that's the argument is, like, you're not on the clock, so it's none of your business.
But if they had said, hey, don't go to the pub, like, they would have been able to fire him. Like, I'm not clear on because that's no good. That seems kind of, you know, like...
That does seem problematic. I mean, maybe it would be more like if he had agreed to those conditions and then went to the pub, there would be some sort of informal contract that he was breaking.
I guess.
Like, that would be a problem. But so it's apparently his boss is the one who spotted him down the pub. So, like, I'm on this guy's side, but at the same time, like, if you live in a town with one pub and you're sick, you can't go there. Like, if you call into work, you can't go to the pub that you always go to after work. That's not allowed.
Go get some beers or whatever at the convenience store is near you
during
the work day, right? And then just do that at home.
Go to the petrol station and get your get your Newcastle Brown Ale.
Yeah, do the Shaun of the Dead walk to the place, and instead of getting a Coke, get a can of beer.
Newcastle Brown Ale. The beloved beer of the Englands.
One can of beer.
For the day. I would like your finest can, please.
Your finest Newcastle Brown Ales, please.
Hey, sorry, man. My COPD is really acting up. It's like, okay. Fair enough, I guess.
It's also such a serious sounding thing that it's like...
It's a serious health problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To be like... Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do as a boss if you're like, hey, man, my lung is acting up. I can't breathe. It's like, all right, well, I hope you don't die. We'll see you tomorrow. Like, you can't do anything about
it. Boss is like, okay, the lung again. Really? All right. I mean, like, I think COPD is one of those ones where if it gets bad, you have to, like, have, like, the rolling oxygen tank and stuff. So, I mean, it's like...
Yeah. Oh, probably stop
there
smoking,
is no debate for sure. Here. This guy should not be smoking and hanging out at the pub. Like, this is not. He should not be doing that for like many reasons. But one of those reasons is not because he called in sick.
Right. That's No. Yeah. I'm wary of this idea that your boss can be like, now, nothing fun, no TV or anything. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
You have to be in bed. And is that somehow like enforceable if they find out you watch TV? Like, you're fired. Like, I don't know.
If you had too nice of a time when you were out sick.
No video games. Like, it's like getting sent to your room, but your parents take all your stuff out of your room before. So you can't just like hang out up there. And
sick days are also like, it's a weird, I mean, it depends on what your job is and where you work and everything. But like, I don't know. I just feel like, because I have like mental health shit, and I have a good track record of being good at day jobs and being able to function in that environment. But like, there've definitely been times where I've called in sick without a physical problem just because it's like, I need to take a mental health day. Yeah. And like, when you need to take a mental health day, it's hard to not feel sort of guilty. It's hard to not feel like you're lying a little bit, but it's like, it's your day. You're allowed to have it. It's going to make you do a better job when you come back to work. Like, there's absolutely, I mean, this is even aside from the fact that like, you should steal time from your bosses. Time theft is sick. But like, even apart from that, it's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to be miserable to take a sick day.
It doesn't help that like mental health day was like a joke thing that people said for years. Like, everyone always be like, oh, mental health day, and like go to the beach or whatever. But
and they put it in like a separate box some places too, right? Don't they say like personal day or something, and it's not a sick day? Is that like what that's meant to be, or does like
if you I go, think that's what that's yeah. meant to be,
or if you have to go, like if you have to deal with like a family thing or whatever, you know, I guess that's a personal day. Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Maybe. Yeah, it's like a different category than vacation or sick day. And it's like,
yeah,
I guess it's factored in so that you don't have to feel bad about taking a sick day when you're not like technically sick or whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, like, it should just be like, hey, not feeling great today, not going to come in, unless there's like something that you had to do that day that you're not going to be able to do or whatever. Like, that should end the conversation, you know?
Yeah, it's not anybody's damn. There shouldn't be any probing business.
As to what it is, or, you know, and it sucks that people feel like they have to justify it. Like, yeah, I don't know, I think I ate something bad, or, you know, whatever, yeah. you know, or you know,
I'm
like,
shitting my brains out, boss.
Yeah, like, I'm
see
not
you
feeling,
later.
Like, I don't feel well, I'm not coming in, that's it. You know,
where did what did that trope come? I remember like there's thing, it was like the biggest fear was like, oh, I caught a foul ball. I went to a baseball game on my day off and caught a foul ball, and I was on the Jumbotron. Oh,
that's
Seinfeld?
A Seinfeld episode, yeah.
It's also
yeah.
Ferris Bueller a little bit,
yeah. No, I feel yeah. like it was like an actual trope for a minute. It was like,
and then in real life, it was the opposite. There was a guy who it was his alibi for like a murder case, as he was an yeah. extra in a Curb episode.
Oh, yeah,
at Dodger
that's
Stadium.
Awesome,
yeah. Like, yeah. What day did you film this? Please say what you know what day you filmed this, so we can present it in court and get me out of this murder charge.
Not
I'm on
only
right now.
Am I innocent of murder, I now have an IMDb page.
Yeah, right.
Bitch.
Yeah,
what's
now
up? Here's
now
my
I'm
credit.
SAG. Yeah.
Here's my proof that I have not committed murder and am SAG eligible.
Yeah. So that's yeah. So. Don't go to a baseball game if you're playing hooky, but also if you're gonna, yeah, you know, there's a, it may help you get off a murder charge.
Yeah, but do go to a baseball game if someone else is committing a murder that looks like you,
and you're yes. worried you might get dinged for it. Yes.
Yeah, and then you have to catch a foul ball. You That's, have to be hunting yeah. him out, yeah. like that weirdo, like that weird guy that does that. That's like his whole thing.
Is
you
that,
seen him?
That's like a thing, right? Like there's a guy who just goes to games to try to catch foul balls.
Yeah, he has
not
like a
not
jersey.
Foul balls, home run balls.
Home run balls.
Well, there's yeah, a guy who's like a jersey. He's like foul ball guy. And all
oh, we're talking
shit.
About two different guys. Okay, yeah. Maybe. There are these guys that are like, the term is like ball hawk, and they go to catch home runs, and they like...
Psycho.
It's, you know, and it's generally...
Just get into trains or whatever.
It's generally harmless, but like, and then it's like there's inevitably there's some confrontation where like they took their scene is like maybe taking a ball from a kid or whatever, and then everyone's yeah. just like, you asshole. And it's like, well, hang on. I, yeah, Shelby, that's the guy I'm thinking of. But then on the other side, like guys like that will like occasionally just like super bite it running or diving for something. And there'll be a clip that goes around. Everyone's
that's,
like, ha-ha.
That happened recently. That's how I found out this was a thing. Cause there yes. was a guy eating shit trying to catch a ball. He like yeah. fell like, I feel like he fell off like a balcony or something.
And then he was still scrambling for the ball, and then a kid got it anyway or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
which
yeah,
is like I mean, a real like, nice happy ending for sure.
I'm sorry. You know, if there's and I'm, you know, again, like I said, I think it's probably just a problem with how you're presented by default. You know what I mean? I don't think this guy's actively like fighting off kids to like get the ball or whatever, and probably gives more than because they catch a ton of them. So it's not like they're just like, you know, but anyway, whatever. Ball hawks. Don't check
weird,
them out.
Weird hobby. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's like people who collect autographs or something. It's like, we all have to fill our time until we die, I guess.
Like, yeah, autographs are
weird
autographs
hobby,
are,
but okay.
Yeah, autographs are a weird one, especially now, because nobody wants autographs now.
They're
really.
Kind of worthless now. Yeah, everybody just wants a selfie or whatever.
I mean, there was a time Baseball. When you just wanted to, you want like getting something signed. Like I guess, like a piece of memorabilia is one thing, but like there were times when like it's like I have an autographed book that I like bring to things,
right?
And someone signs it, and I have their autograph on a page in this book.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's the funniest. I remember when I was a little kid, I went to Disney World.
Yes,
and
the breakfast. Yes.
Yes. I've told the story before, right? About going to the...
Oh, no. I just think about the character breakfast all the time. I think it's such a funny thing where everybody wants their little, like, you know, Chip and Dale draw their little paws in those books.
Right. Yeah. And it's just some guy.
Like, I have...
Apparently, it's they so have leeway weird. On, like... They have, like, broad strokes they have to hit with
they
the signatures.
They teach them how to do it, yeah.
But they get a little bit of... They get a little bit of... They can do a little bit of jazz. And
they all know how to... I suppose, like, they all know how to sign upside down, too. Because you're just, like, yes. constantly...
Yeah.
Kids don't know their... But I have a great photo of me like just looking like a little businessman handing like a document to Rafiki to be signed. Being like, oh, Rafiki, if you please.
Could you ratify this, please, Rafiki? Yeah. We've passed an amendment and needs your signature.
Yeah, just that was it, man. That was the height of like when you're a kid, there's nothing more like balling out than like being at the Grand Floridian like ballroom or whatever in that hotel, like very bright and airy. And then there's just Chip, Dale, the girl one from Chip and Dale, like Sprocket or Gizmo or something, I forget.
I think
and
then Gizmo you got all the right.
Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, you know, Pluto, who, you know, again, there's a whole bunch of problems of what Pluto is or not. They're all just so there. And then all of the, I guess all the new ones too, but I'm so old that it was like the main guys.
It was
guys.
The classic.
I mean, the lore of it is so funny that like the idea that as a kid or whatever, that you're like, Rafiki is real. And he's signing autographs. Like, he is Rafiki. He lives at Pride Rock.
He's famous for being Rafiki. He sings a little song or whatever
he's
he does.
He's the shaman who baptizes each new Lion King.
And lives and in on his days off, he's here.
Lives in that tree on the Pride land and like on like the veldt. And he comes here every Sunday. He comes here every Sunday at 1 o'clock.
My parents still talk about this trip to Disney World because like we have like family in Florida and we just like one of the days went to Disney World or whatever. It wasn't like why we were there, but it's expensive to go. It's like it's an undertaking, you know, like we went for a few days, but I was like such a fearful kid that I like wouldn't go on any of the rides. And I just wanted to meet Mickey over and over and over again.
Well,
and
my great, parents you have great were like, expenditure times. From your parents. Yeah. They're loving how useful and this was.
My parents were just like, it was the most boring fucking trip ever because we just had to wait in line to meet Mickey and you didn't want to go on any rides because you were scared of all of them.
I could have just bought a damn Mickey suit.
Yeah, exactly. For the cost of sending three people
Mickey's
to Disney
Mickey's at
World.
The house. You can meet him again. He came to the house. So
I, in retrospect, feel very bad.
I mean, it's you know, like obviously we've talked about like the adult Disney people, which is like a whole you know thing.
Sure.
But, I don't know. Disney World's pretty cool. Like the undertaking that it is like very interesting to me, like the way they make it all mm-hmm. work. And like, also like they have the thing now where you get like the bracelet and it tracks where you are and stuff within the park, like for, you know, nefarious in the sense of marketing purposes, I guess for them. But like, otherwise it's like useful for you cause you don't have to bring cash. You just like boop the thing everywhere. It's like almost like a, you know, before Apple Pay or whatever type thing. And all that kind of crap. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool.
I kind of understand the fixation of it as far as like a phenomenon, like people who know all the trivia about the parks and stuff. I think that's like sort of interesting. I don't really think it's like that fun to go, but I also haven't been in a long time and I've never been to the one in California, which
it's an amusement park and it's like cleaner than most of them are.
Yeah,
so
it's an amusement park, but like the rides aren't fun. It's an amusement park with bad rides.
It's all that they sanded off all the carny edges for sure. There's no like, you know, you're not afraid you're going to like, the salt and pepper shaker is not going to detach at the top or something because they just like a hungover guy built it that morning. Or
yeah, exactly.
You know, but like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I have no plans to go back, but I mean, I've half joked about, you know, going back and just doing like a boozy / I don't know, get some edibles or something, Disney trip and just kind of wander around. I think that could be fun.
I'd go drink all the Epcot drinks. That sounds all right. Spend $900 or whatever.
Or even like, as part of a trip to LA, maybe just go to Disneyland or something. Cause I've never been there either. But like World is obviously like, if you're going to, you're not going to Orlando. I mean, you went for family, but like, if you don't have any, like you're not just going to Orlando and it's like, oh, let's go check out Disney. It's like, no, that's, you're like, you know,
that's all that's here for anybody.
I mean, there's Universal, I guess too, but like, yeah, the main, like you're going to the main thing.
Main event. Yeah. Should we do number three?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Number three.
This story comes to us from NCHammer326 in the Discord. It is from China, and basically, I guess this is from last month, so apologize if this story has, already made it across your radar, but apparently there's this safari park in Fuyang, China, where... you know, it's like one of those, I think it's like a Jurassic Park situation where you like drive through and like see the animals in their natural habitat. But also like Jurassic Park, things went wrong And
you're using, I love your use of Jurassic Park as like, you know, like Jurassic Park.
I've never been to like a real one of those.
That's just so regular safaris, right?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like,
otherwise
I think
it's a zoo.
I think there's different levels though. Cause like, I've been to India and driven through a wildlife preserve and it's like, we're in their house, you know what I mean? But then I think there are some where it's like, it's sort of like that, but the animals are still kind of more in your house than you're in their house, you know what I mean? Mm. Which is like the Jurassic Park situation where there's like fences and, you know.
I would say the Jurassic Park situation usually doesn't mean it's a functional place. Jurassic well, Park situation is the worst case scenario.
I would also say, you know, a key element of the Jurassic Park situation would be the presence of dinosaurs. That would just be a thing. Yeah. It's hard for me to hear Jurassic Park situation and not at least be like, okay, where's the dinosaur connection here?
What did they bring back to life? What, right. How are they laughing in God's face that makes this a Jurassic Park situation?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess it's not the perfect comparison.
It's like, yeah, you mean like a zoo? I was like, I mean, kind of, yeah.
I just enjoy
like a
Busch
Gardens,
use of,
I guess.
I just enjoy the use of a Jurassic Park situation in... To describe something that went fine. You're like...
Well, you- it didn't go fine. That's why we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because some shit escaped. So some leopards got out, which is like probably pretty high on the list of animals you don't want to get out. Like, I think tigers probably number one, but leopards are up there. Like, you don't want those escaping. And apparently this happened. Three leopards escaped. And... This safari park kept it under wraps until people who lived near the safari park were like, hey, are there like leopards around? And yeah, people saw the leopards out and about like and then the park was like, oh, yeah, they escaped 3 weeks ago. Sorry, we forgot to tell you. And they were just out. Out and about, living it up, you know. I'm imagining the Wet Hot American Summer montage where they go into town. That's like the leopards are,
yes.
You know, living
they're,
it
they're,
up.
They're on heroin.
They're shooting heroin.
Yeah.
But yeah, so apparently two of the three have now been captured, but there is still one on the loose. And,
there were actually only two because they had one and three painted on the side.
Yes, yeah, of course. Prank, yeah, yeah. So. But seniors. Yeah, so... They just didn't tell anyone. So they escaped on April 19th, and then locals started reporting sightings on May 2nd. So
they've been
around. Almost 2 weeks later, just like calling the cops. Like,
I mean,
I think
there
are
like
some
walking
leopards
a dog,
out here.
It's like, I think I'd like to know if there were just leopards around.
It how seems
like
leopards it's not... are kind of small, right? How big is a leopard?
I mean, it's definitely not tiger lion big, but I think they're pretty big. I think they're probably like bigger than, I bet they're bigger than Tilly, you know?
Bigger. So now I got to deal with this 70 pound bullshit again.
Yeah. How many pounds would you say?
Let's see. Leopard size.
Wow. Shelby is on it. Mass male, 68 pounds. So.
Okay. So Tilly sized.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Males usually weigh between 80 and 165 pounds, according to the San Diego Zoo. So it probably depends on the species, too. But it could be big.
Length, 3 to 5.4 feet.
That's also doesn't
so
help
specific.
Me at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does not. I don't know about animal length. Like, give me a withers. Tell me how high at the withers.
So if you laid down, it's your size,
it's
sort
size.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cats can be long, as we know, so...
Yeah. Shelby sent us a really good long cat picture before we started recording. A new addition to his family is coming, and he's very long. And it's very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, these leopards, they, I guess they were just living it up. It doesn't sound like they killed anything that anybody knew about. But yeah, the park has said they are, quote, sincerely sorry, which I don't think is going to cut it as as explanation
Our
or
bad.
Apology.
Sorry.
Whoops.
Yeah, they said like we thought it was going to cause panic, and it's like, I mean, no one should ever announce anything bad.
Yeah.
That's the logic. Like,
right,
what are you talking about?
I think the escaped leopards are what's causing panic, not announcing it. Like you're past the, you know.
What is this panic going to look like, by the way? like people just, like society breaks down because there could be leopards. Like, you know, like that doesn't seem, I don't think that's true.
No, people like that. Again, when I went to India and we went to this like this wildlife preserve, it was like we didn't see any, but it was it's a tiger habitat. Like it's like protected specifically because of tigers. And there are villages there, and it's just like, yeah, sometimes people get eaten by tigers. It's just a thing that happens, but we all still live here. Like they just, right. You know, that's our life. And it was really weird to be there for a couple days and just be like, so are you guys just like freaked out all the time like I am the entire time I've been in this village, because I'm pretty scared of getting eaten by a tiger, it turns out.
I mean, just that's like, yeah, it's a dull hum at this point in the back of my brain.
I mean, that's, I guess, like they probably would say the same thing about, are you worried about constantly getting blown up living in New York?
And it's, that's
like,
true, no,
you just kind of internalize it, and it's just part of your day.
You just deal with that as an existential, like, sort of non-specific fear that colors, you know, your general outlook, but not your specific decisions.
I had that when I was like, this apartment, I was just like, any of my neighbors could just leave their stove on and I would explode.
Oh, yeah. That's, and then that's just an intrusive thought I have. Very.
You just got to file it away. You just got to be like, I hope not. I'll never know.
hope that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, sure. Hope that doesn't happen.
That's true. And unlike, like, because there, it's like a tiger preserve, but there's only like 10 tigers, you know? So it's like, when you think about how many people with guns are in like your general radius at any given time, it's like probably more than that, you know? So like, who's to say what we should be worried about, I guess? We should all be way more afraid is what I'm saying. This podcast is trying to stoke more fear. Unlike the safari park, we would like to cause panic. So,
yeah.
But yeah, pretty scary to be in a place where you know tigers are hanging out all the time. Didn't like feel very at ease. It was not a relaxing vacation for me, but I did get to drive by some elephants though. That was pretty cool.
That's a classic. That's a classic. I got to ride on one. Experience.
It was pretty neat.
Drive by some elephants, just like hang your Uzi out the window.
Take that, bitch.
It was really messed up because you waited until one elephant's funeral to then kill all the other elephants who were there to pay their respects at the elephant's funeral.
Shelby's drive-by drop.
Elephant drive-by drop.
The classic elephant drive-by sequence. We all know now. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so I guess there's still one out there. So if you're listening to this from Fuyang, China, I'm sorry if you're finding out this way. But
keep an eye out.
But don't panic, because that would, you know, that's the main problem. We don't want to cause a panic.
Yeah, that
we
would
somehow
be bad.
We don't want to cause a rush of...
That's somehow worse than knowing about the leopards.
But yeah. Should we do number... What number are we on? Two?
Two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two comes to us from a stray bag. It's from the Cape Cod Times. And this is a story of a lobster diver who... this guy's got quite a backstory here too, just generally, but we'll start with the most recent thing that happened to him here. He was in the water, for a second dive of the day, and he felt like he got shoved, and then all of a sudden it was dark and he was just kind of getting kind of bumped around inside this very small space. And, it turns out he got swallowed by a humpback whale. This guy was inside a whale's mouth. And he could feel like, you know, humpback whales are baleen whales, I believe. So they like just open their mouth and then just kind of like, you know, blow
filter
the water
feeders.
Out and filter it out.
Yeah.
So he was just in there for that, I guess, that part of the process. And he got kind of beat up a little bit, I guess, but then he just kind of came back up.
He got blown out is what you're saying?
He went through the blowhole. That's the science.
This whale blew out this lobster diver.
he got like just like spit out because the whale was probably like, ugh, like that's not, you're not krill, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so then his like guy who was on the boat waiting for him, because he was going down to do, they just grab lobsters off like a cliff, I guess, out off of Provincetown on Cape Cod. And he just got spit out, and he's definitely beat up. There's a picture of him giving a thumbs up from the hospital bed, so he's doing okay. But
imagine, like, going to the hospital and being like, Yeah, I got swallowed by a whale. I need to get checked out. That's on your chart. Yeah. Like,
they change
shifts. We do not have a medical billing code for this.
They change shifts, and the new doctor is just like opening your chart and is like, whoa, wait. Did you get swallowed by a whale?
Yeah, well, that's so apparently the people in the boat, the crew of the boat, like, saw the whale surface, and they thought it was, like, a great white, because, like, they see them all the time out there, too, and it's like, all right, well, if that's what that is, this guy's done.
He's gone, yeah.
We're going to see some red coming up in a minute, but then it, like, spat him out, and it's like, did you just get spit out of the mouth? Are you kidding me? Like, that just happened? And he said he estimates he was in there. It's probably very difficult to try to analyze how long it actually was in there, but for him, but, like, he said it was, like, 30 to 40 seconds he was in this whale's mouth, and it was, like, I guess kind of like doing like, you know, like kind of like seeing what it felt like in there. Like, I don't think this is what I want in here. And then just getting rid of him. So
it also,
it's
it
like when you swallow a bug by accident, you're like, he just does that.
It's also funny. Cause it's like, I mean, getting put in the mouth of like a, you know, like a baleen whale or whatever, like it probably doesn't hurt you, but they're like, they're still going to be like, yeah, you definitely have to go to the hospital. But they like don't even know what tests to do. They're just like, I don't know, run the normal stuff. Like, I'm like, they're just like, you, something's got to be wrong. You just,
I'd imagine it's like a mild car accident. Like, that's probably the level.
I don't think it's even that bad.
He's got, it's described as a lot of soft tissue damage. So he's, I think the medical term would be he's pretty banged up. But it's not clear. Like, there's not like, you know, any lasting damage, I don't think, which is good. And it's the fucking hell of a story. Yeah, there's an interview here in the Cape Cod Times with a guy with a great name, Charles Stormy Mayo. So Stormy Mayo is this guy's name. He's a scientist.
Every detail about this is the most Cape Cod story ever. It's like, this could be from 200 years ago. It would be exactly the same story with all the same names and like, right. And people would think it was like not real. People would think Herman Melville made it up, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
But so he said, you know, like, you know, it was likely accidental. Like, you know, this guy's a good diver. He's like a, you know, like he's like, he was doing
accidental.
Right.
And so you mean he didn't intentionally swim into the whale's mouth?
No, like the whale wasn't. Yeah, it was.
Whale had no motive.
Apparently it was like a juvenile whale. So it was like, you know, ah, shit, you know, like a, you know, like a teen or something.
It's,
basically.
It's still learning how to eat.
That's right. So this guy, I mean, like, apparently. All right. So this guy, first of all, he's a lobster diver. So like they, you know, they go down and they go into a deep channel, you know, off of this shelf outside of Provincetown. And
I didn't know they sent people down to do that. I think it was all traps.
It's a sort of a less and less, frequent.
It's a lost art.
Yeah. I would say it's a profession that's kind of dwindling. But so I guess the crewman up in the boat keeps track of the diver, following his bubbles as he's being pushed around by these currents. And he said, divers have been dragged out to sea. That happened to this guy once, and he treaded water for hours before being rescued. Wow. And he said his share of close calls. For years, he was an abalone diver on the West Coast in an area filled with great white sharks that have a history of attacking divers. And he lost some friends to great whites.
Jeez.
Like, yeah. And even crazier, 10 years ago, while traveling in Costa Rica, he was a passenger in a small plane that crashed in the jungle, killing the pilot, co-pilot, and a passenger, and he survived. So,
what?
This guy already survived a plane crash.
I need this guy's memoir. Like, this is crazy.
He is part of the Joestar family.
This guy's a JoJo for sure.
Yeah.
This is bananas.
So
yeah.
He's been through a lot. Yeah.
I just can't, like, so, this has come up on the show before, that we studied lobsters when I was in second grade for a long time, for like half the year. It was like the lobster unit.
It's the main thing.
The main thing. The planets and lobsters. Mm-hmm. And we went on like a lobster boat as like a field trip. This was like a classic New England public school field trip. You'd go out on a lobster boat. And they would show you like the traps and stuff. But like, I feel like if this guy was there, I would have a completely different understanding of what lobster fishing is like. This is blowing my mind. I thought it was just old guys who look like Santa Claus pulling up little wooden traps. I didn't realize they sent them down there to get eaten by great whites. It's bananas.
Yeah. So some of these guys, you know, they're just.
What's this guy's name? Does he have a cool name?
His name is Michael Packer. I don't see a nickname anywhere.
This guy has got to have tons of nicknames.
I mean, Jonah would be a good one now, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they have an interview with a guy, Dave Spider Gibson, you know, saying he's the best lobster diver I've ever seen, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. If you, the
amount of lobsters he gets, you wouldn't believe it.
If you, like, live on Cape Cod, you have a nickname. Like, it's a vacation place, but, like, if you're one of the, like, you know, 1,000 people that, like, actually live in Provincetown, you have to have some kind of, like, Jaws-like nickname for sure. It's just got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this guy...
Maybe his are unprintable. Maybe that's what it is.
That could be, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, he thought he was inside a great white shark, too. But he couldn't feel any teeth, and he hadn't suffered any obvious wounds. So then he's like, okay, I guess I'm inside a whale, then. yeah, imagine that. You're inside a mouth, and you're like, okay, time to feel and see if there are any razor-sharp teeth enclosing me in here or what kind of animal this is. Like, have fun. What a treat.
I'm imagining it feels like getting thrown into the trunk of a car that is then, like, going over bumpy road. That's what I'm imagining. Because he said it's like it was dark and he was getting, like, tumbled around.
Whales are truly the cars of the sea. You know?
They're like the minivans of the sea, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gonna need a...
Very large, but harmless.
An out-of-sight... But inside, they're instead of the trunk of a car, Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney are inside a whale's mouth. And they have like a sexy, you know, time in the whale's mouth.
But, that brings me to my other point, which I feel like now this guy can be like, it smells like a whale's mouth in here, you know? Yeah. Like, I just feel like that's such a gross place to be. And now he has a reference point to describe other gross things in a cool way. And I'm jealous.
Just like... About to, like, a fight. So like, oh boy, here comes the whale's mouth thing again. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta hear this again. All right.
It's his one metaphor for everything now.
It's like the rocket scientist sketch from Mitchell and Webb, where it's just like any conversation, he's like, it sounds uncomfortable. I mean, it's no whale's mouth, but it sounds
kind of tight. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It's no plane crash in the jungle.
Right.
Killing everyone aboard except me, but you know, I guess it's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it seems pretty tough. Yeah, he's got kids, so it's like, yeah, I'm sure. I bet your homework is tough. You know what else was tough? Just like, okay,
burying my friends. Okay, Dad.
They only eat krill, Dad. You are never in danger. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. The esophagus
You're too
isn't
fat
even
to get through the baleen, asshole.
Yeah, their esophagus isn't even big enough to swallow a human, Dad. I learned that from the article.
That's true? Yeah, it can't swallow a human.
It could have choked a whale.
That's kind of cool.
That's the worst outcome, is he dies choking a whale.
Choking a whale. That sucks. Yeah, that's too bad. Can a whale cough? That'd be weird to watch. Seeing
this
something
has been
that big
moments
cough.
With deep thoughts with Kath.
It'd be weird. It'd just be really weird.
Can a whale cough?
What? Like, you get stuck in its throat. Is it going to be like, like, what's it going to do? Does it have a gag reflex? I got to know. That's weird.
So he seems to be good. So best of luck to him. I don't think he needs our luck because he's got quite a he's unkillable.
The luckiest man alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Or he's like cursed everyone around him. Like, it sounds like the people who associate with this guy have had it pretty tough. I mean, dying in plane crashes, getting eaten by sharks. Like, maybe he has some kind of weird curse on him. Like, maybe he's not
like
lucky.
He's a luck vampire. He takes everyone else.
Literally Jonah. Just further and further into the Jonah
He's
mythology.
Jonah. Yeah. that actually is true. Yeah. Mm. I think that's what's going on with him. So stay away, I guess. But good for him. Number one?
Yeah.
Number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Hoo boy. You've probably heard about this. I've been thinking about it since I saw it. This is a story from the entertainment world, where NBC was working on a new show called Ultimate Slip and Slide, based, as you might imagine, on the famous backyard pastime of a little sheet of plastic that you slip and slide on. Unfortunately, they've had to halt the show due to, I quote, explosive diarrhea, which is truly the one thing we didn't want to happen on the ultimate slip and slide show. the 40 crew members got diarrhea on the slip and slide show. They all got giardia, which I don't...
Jesus. It's so bad because, like, I read giardia the article...
Giardia is, like, isn't that like something you get from, like, drinking river water, right? Isn't that, like, that sounds like something that's...
They were drinking the slip and slide water, they got giardia.
It's so funny because it's, like, I know that this is not what happened, but, like, it absolutely invites the image that they got diarrhea on the slip and slide. Like, and because of the slip and slide, like that, it's like the slip and slide is a major factor in the diarrhea story.
Which
is not actually true, but like, there's no way to divorce that.
Giardia gives you diarrhea, but it also comes from it's like it's an intestinal microbe. So
it's a beautiful cycle.
That's where it comes from. Somebody
gives you diarrhea and it comes from diarrhea.
That's right.
Just the cycle is complete.
That's right.
It makes every part of this story so funny. Like, with somebody like, in an earlier announcement, NBC said, and it's like stuff about the show, it's like, unlike this announcement, which is about how everyone got diarrhea on the slip and slide and had to go home.
They made everyone go home.
Yeah.
Shut down the slip and slide until further notice. No one can slip or slide except in their own diarrhea. it is like, I'm sure it was just like there was some tainted food or something, but it's like, why were you guys drinking the slip and slide water? Because that's what it sounds like.
From water. I like to think there's one guy who just loves river water. He's always got a bottle of river water on him. Just
it's like that raw water.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like Michael's secret stuff from Space Jam, but it's just river water and it gives you diarrhea.
They're detoxing. They're all detoxing so they can be hot on the slip and slide show. Yeah. What is the show? Like, do we know what the game of the slip and slide show is?
The competition would involve pairs of siblings, best friends, couples, and coworkers competing in multiple rounds of games, including human pong, body bowling, cornhole, and bocce fall.
Okay.
So, what does cornhole have to do with
slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
Are you the ball or the bag? Like, are you supposed to be the...
I think they're the bag.
Yeah, okay.
There's a slip and slide, and they put Dwayne Wade's The Cube at the end.
But the thing is,
just slide into the cube.
But
the thing is, slip and slide doesn't have, like, any mechanism for you to...
I'm Dwayne Wade, and this is The Cube.
I still have no idea what that is. I'm just assuming there's a remake of that sci-fi movie Cube with Dwayne Wade in it.
I'm Dwayne Wade.
He's trapped in the cube.
This is The Cube.
And you have have to interact with the show's social media posts for them to let him out. That's what it is.
you do like little tasks in the cube, and then I think Shelby is a legit cube.
I'm Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
Is The Cube.
I mean, the cube, like, but cube in the movie, you have Dwayne to do math to get out.
Yeah, but you can ask Dwayne Wade to come into the cube and help you, but he can only do it once, I think.
And this
There's
is unrelated to
the cube.
This is not the Transformers cube, just to be clear.
Oh my god.
This is The Cube.
It's Dwayne Wade trying to convince people to push the cube into his chest. Right. And if he gets you to do it, he wins. But if you resist, you win. That's the cube.
Sam.
Slip and slide.
The one that had like the ability to send you flying was Crocodile Mile, because you run, you slide, you hit the bump and take a dive. Does anyone remember Crocodile Mile? Like that. Mm-hmm. That was like the differentiation. Yeah. Crocodile Mile had like a pool at the end. Well, slip and slide, you just ended up in the grass and you were just like, it was not, you know.
Yeah, you're all dirty.
Until this story, I didn't realize that slip and slide was like a branded thing. Because
one is slip and slide, yeah.
Right. Whereas I was like, that's just what it's called when you put dish soap on a tarp in your backyard.
It is basically a slick tarp.
Yeah, I didn't know there was like a thing that was...
Also, dish soap. You don't need to put dish soap on it, do you?
You do if it's a tarp, because it's not slippery. until you put dish soap
like a
on
blue
it.
Like a blue tarp, like one of those things.
That's like one step from just being like, I put a bunch of soap on the kitchen floor and writhed around for a while with my cousins.
Like slip and slide is not like some like fancy expensive thing, for the record. I'm pretty sure.
No, it's like absolutely not. You know. It's just like, why do we need to buy one? We have a tarp with soap on it.
Well, it's because they have it's got the like you plug a hose into it.
No, I think slip and slides cost like $30.
You plug a hose into it. That's their like. That's the reason that they can just not be like, we're selling you plastic.
Right. Yeah, I know it has those sprinklers on the side. Like, I do know that you can buy those. I just didn't know it was like, I thought it was like how all tissues are Kleenex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like slippery tarp was also a slip and slide, but that is not true.
No Wikipedia entry for Crocodile Mile. This is
I did Google image search it to see what we were
Crocodile Mile had like a jump on it, and then you got to play it at like a birthday party until someone like broke their wrist, and then there was no more Crocodile
All
Mile.
This stuff is so dangerous, like it is kind of weird that
you like set up the sprinkler next to the slip and slide, and then somebody like hits the sprinkler or like there's like a rock that they run over and, like,
the rock on the slip and slide was a serious
or you like veer off it and get like grass burns like that. I feel like that would happen, like
but the Crocodile Mile was cool because, like, at least the way it was initially set up was, like, there was just a giant crocodile mouth, like a little curtain, and it's like you're just like diving to your death. Like that's apparently what like it's
you
like
dive into the crocodile's mouth.
The death drive in action. Like it's time. I've had enough. No more math homework.
I will say I do like all this stuff. I like a backyard sprinkler party. That's a good time. Just running around through a sprinkler.
I would not. I would not Google like sprinkler party like to hang out at. Probably end up at a very different party. But
yeah, I don't know. How do you guys feel about water parks? Are you not into water parks?
I like
that's
water
where
parks.
You get Giardia.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but they're fun.
So the bigger
like
the universe of people that are going to be involved, the more likely that you're going to get some hits on the diarrhea from
just some freak at a water park. Like, I'm thirsty, and then just like cupping water out of a water slide into their mouth, and just immediately getting explosive diarrhea.
It's like, I'm not letting diarrhea stop me from enjoying the water park. I'm still going to Blizzard Beach or wherever.
And that's like the one sign outside of every hot tub too.
It's like,
that's
don't like have diarrhea one. In here.
Yeah. Oh, the signs at pools where it says you cannot have active diarrhea in the pool.
Well, it's not active.
The single prohibition. It's like anything goes. Just do not have diarrhea.
I have dormant diarrhea. So
it's what it's diarrhea
it's like,
sometimes.
It's like Mount Etna. It's it's been a long time.
My diarrhea is in remission currently.
You have, the active, the dormant, and the extinct phases of diarrhea.
Right.
And sometimes you think it's extinct, but nope, it was just dormant, and now it's back.
It's got a real Dante's Peak situation.
Diarrhea is back. It's worse than ever. Well, here's some
I
more
do love that Kanye drop, Shelby. If you would play it again, it's one of my
it's
faves.
It's worth it to get diarrhea sometimes.
That's very good.
From the slip and slide show. That's a time when it's worth it.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've been in a long time. I watched the documentary about Action Park, which was insane. I did not go to that. That was not part of my childhood. But like that was like, but I mean, I'm trying to think if I went to like a, I went, we used to go at the end of every year in middle school to a place in a place called Mountainside, I want to say, in, I forget what the name of it, I think it was Wallington, Connecticut, or something like that. I think that was the name of the town. Wallingford, that's it. And I don't know if that still exists anymore, but they had like a water element, but you know, I was in peak middle school, shirt in the pool mode. I'm not doing that in front of girls. No, thank you. So I didn't do any of that. I did go to like the big slide when we went to Atlantis for spring break in the Bahamas.
That big slide from the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie.
Where you like hit like air briefly, which is like not fun. It's like, okay, I'd like to stay down, please. I want to stay on the right orbit here. Thank you.
Yeah, we had one growing up near me called Water Country, which if you grew up in northern New England, you have the Water Country jingle committed to memory until your death. Like it is the like local commercial jingle
to
me.
It's the Eastern Motors of the North New England.
Your job's your
credit. When the sun is blazing and the weather gets hot, Water Country's a very cool spot. That's how it starts. It's very
cool. This is just Shelby's just playing music for being down at the old swimming hole.
Yep.
That's what this is.
Yeah. This is like every country song is this music and then someone reminiscing over it.
Being down the old, yeah.
Catching crawdads in the mud hole.
But yeah, I mean, you know.
Someone should do a country song about that, but it like veers into talking about like the one weird kid who tortured the frogs at the mud hole.
I thought you meant a country song about getting diarrhea from Giardia. like drink the old water.
Classic memory.
Yeah, instead of rappers, we need to add to that AI thing that Shelby used for the Kanye thing, get like a Kenny Chesney, you know.
Yeah.
Like diarrhea at the old swimming hole. but with him, it's more. It has like a Buffett vibe because he just has become Buffett.
He's country
he made
Buffett.
He made a very good pivot, like in like the late '90s or early 2000s, and he's just now like gonna just take over the Buffett mantle whenever Buffett, you know.
I respect that.
Inherit Margaritaville.
Whenever he hangs up the, I don't know what I'm trying to think of what type of gear he would be hanging up.
Whenever Buffett hangs that up. Salted rim glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he hangs up his holster that has beer salt in it.
They're going to salt the rim of Jimmy Buffett's coffin. Buried with a salted rim.
Beautiful tribute.
The guy who was credited with like developing and like sort of shepherding Doritos through Frito-Lay, they legit, his family crumbled Doritos like on his casket.
Aww. They put seasoned him.
When it was time for that guy to die, like Elrond took him onto the ship and they went to the Undying Lands.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
That's, you know, like that guy, man, the contribution that man made. he's seated in at a table full of kings who died in battle in Valhalla. Like that's where that guy is. What'd you do? Oh, I made Doritos. Like, oh, nice.
Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
Thank you for your service.
The Elysian Fields.
Yeah. All the Viking, you know, leaders are like, first they doubt him and they're like, what did you do to deserve this? And then he hands them a bag of Doritos and they're like, yeah. And then, you know, Valhalla erupts in celebration as Doritos have finally come.
It's like he hasn't cleaved anyone in twain with a halberd. It's like, yeah, but he made this. And it's just like, they're all just pounding the table. There's just mead going everywhere. And
he cleaved a lot of aortic ventricles in twain.
That's true.
With those Doritos.
He's got a bigger body count than any Viking. That's a good point. You know, depending on how you want to apportion culpability for heart disease and heart attacks.
Like the Vikings, it was honorable. So that's right. He still gets to go to Valhalla. That's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I feel like Jimmy Buffett, like, that's like a cool guy to be. If you're...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it's like kind of a grift, but it's like, it just seems very unproblematic. It's just like, yeah, old retired people who just want to hang out and get a little toasty in the sun.
Yeah. I mean, he's genuinely a very clever and, you know, fun songwriter. And... You know, yeah, like what's like the whole the concert is the tailgate kind of vibe, you know, and yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Seems like a pretty gentle subculture. Seems like they'd be very welcoming of everybody. Like,
he has a truly amazing cameo in Jurassic World. Because there's a Margaritaville at the park, and when shit starts to go crazy, there's just a guy running with two full margaritas,
that
and it's actually Jimmy Buffett.
That's
so
really good. I will say so I like have not been to obviously been to Times Square like in a very long time until we went to go see Fast Six the other week, and getting out of the subway and just seeing the Times Square Margaritaville was like very dark to me. Like it just really bumps me out.
Oh, I want to go. We got to go. That's fun to me.
Good time.
I will say I did miss people so much that like after, so I went to Fast Seven this week. And after it was over, I went on a really long walk intentionally through Times Square, which I've never done before.
Oh, Jesus.
And probably will never do again. But it was so, like, it was so nice. Like, it just, I haven't, you know, been around that many people in so long. It was, like, very nice to sort of melt into a crowd and just kind of look around and, you know, try to avoid the stuff about Times Square that is depressing, which is a lot of it.
I think I still wouldn't choose that crowd. I find like a better crowd.
It was fine. But, it was just tourists. Like, you know, there's a lot of people taking selfies. It's all right.
Yeah. The M&M store.
It's good that people are back. That's good to see.
Yeah. Like it just made me feel like things are at least in America, at least in New York City, slowly sort of returning to normal.
I mean, Times Square is just such a like such a funny thing to me. Like, having lived in New York and living near New York growing up, it's like, I think we've talked about this before, but like, I'm sure we go to other places that they have the same feeling about, but at least those are like places with like history and like stuff to look at and like a museum or something in Times Square. It's just like, look at all these big stores. Like, it's so bizarre to me.
It's really weird too, because it's like, it's all of the things that exist in non-New York places that don't exist in New York except in Times Square. You know what I mean? Like,
by and large, yeah.
Every town has an Olive Garden, but New York's Olive Garden, there's one, and it's in Times Square. I know there's other ones, but like,
I was gonna say, there's one on like 20. There was one on 23rd, at least. I don't remember.
That's not associated with New York City in any way, except that Times Square is associated so strongly with New York City, but it's full of things that are in every mall, and it's just it's a weird like inversion, you know what I mean? It's very strange.
And I guess the M&M store is like, they don't have those elsewhere or something. So I guess you could get like a custom M&M's or something, but like, yeah, like you can like go into Bubba Gump, a restaurant that is just so like one of the weirdest things of all time. Like,
it's
like
weird.
A restaurant themed after a movie that from like forever ago that people don't really even regard that highly anymore, and it's like weirdly themed to it, but it's been going for 30 years. Just like truly crazy.
Like, people there are for sure people that go to that place that don't know about
what Bubba Gump is. Yeah, that's probably true.
I was there with a guy who didn't know what Bubba Gump was, and he also had never had shrimp, and he ate one with the shell still on.
Okay,
he's a weird guy.
I think that's you met an alien pretending to be a human being.
You met a Prot from K-Pax. Did he also eat a banana? Strangely,
yeah, he's wearing these sunglasses.
Yeah, he just sucked out the shrimp's brain and then spit it out. It was weird.
Yeah, then there were some allegations, and then he said it was time for the alien to go back home. It was strange. I don't know. Just a normal setup there.
But yeah, walking through Times Square, like, I walked by a Forever 21, and I'm just like, who is going to this Forever 21? Like, I'll shop at a Forever 21, but like, who is in this one? Why is this here?
Like, you're gonna buy stuff from Forever 21, and like, yeah, take it back to elsewhere in the U.S. or something. Yeah, right. It's just where they have that also at the mall. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but this is from here. It's
and
like,
then it disintegrates after you wash it twice.
Yeah.
And just have the memory of it left.
It's for teens to be like, oh boy, I'm shoplifting in New York City. Forever 21 is just like built, like, I feel like they just are shoplifting central. Like, that store is built to shoplift.
I will say,
about shoplifting from there. You're giving me good ideas.
There we go. This is evidence now. This is premeditated. Yeah. There was a really good, speaking of Times Square, there's a really good long form article about the rise and fall of Planet Hollywood, which I have been saving like a little treat for myself. But because Planet Hollywood was like was supposed to be the coolest thing in the world when it came out. It was like, oh my God, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone are like investors in this restaurant, and it's going to have movie memorabilia, and it's like, oh my
God,
it's
like
if
fucking Iron Man and Captain America made a restaurant today.
Yeah.
It's like that level.
But it's like,
it's like all my favorite movie characters came out with a birthday cake just for me.
Exactly. That's Game Master Anthony the restaurant, for
sure. But Anthony the restaurant.
But yeah, but like it was like, and so I had like, I wish I still had it. I had like a black baseball cap that had like the Planet Hollywood logo, but it was in like silvery thread. It was like shiny, because that was like the, you know, it was like glitz. But so there's all these stories about how like it went bankrupt and all this crazy stuff. But like, we went to the one in 2019. We tried to go to Hard Rock, and there was like a huge wait, because we were going to the 42nd Street Times Square to go see, and we were going to see the lighthouse. So we had a real high art and kitsch sort of one or the other night. But we ended up going to Planet Hollywood, which was like pretty grim the way it's set up, and it's like, you know, all the kind of food you'd expect, but they have like, I don't know, like Ghostbusters outfits that are just like there you can go look at. And like the most important one for me was in part of the gift store, which is disrespectful, the Lament configuration cube from Hellraiser is just on a shelf.
Oh, that's in the gift shop.
That's
just sitting there, although they call it the Lamont configuration, which is just
this.
That's what the cube
is. The cube.
The cube is the Lament configuration.
I'm Dwayne Wade, and
Dwayne
Wade
is a Cenobite. People don't realize that.
Yeah, I'm Dwayne Wade, and I'm going to show you a world between pleasure and pain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's what. Is that my dead brother is coming back to life? And just, I'm Dwayne Wade, and this is the cube, and just up in the attic,
and this is your dead brother.
My horrible wife is bringing back various lovers in the middle of the day to get eaten by Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Anyway,
that would suck if you went and you thought you were playing a TV game show and then a bunch of hooks got put in you.
I'd be upset. A real shame.
Suboptimal.
It's almost like when you think you're going to be on a game show and then you get Giardia instead.
Yeah.
That's kind of a Hellraiser scenario, I think.
That's world between pleasure. A slip and slide is a bit of a slip and slide is a real Hellraiser sort of situation, honestly.
It is. A world between pleasure and pain, absolutely.
Every time I hear Giardia, I'm like, is that the stuff that goes in the Chicago hot dogs? I can't like...
Yes.
It's not
honestly,
a Chicago hot dog unless it's got diarrhea on it. Unless
what is
a guy
though?
Who
it's
ate some rubble water came over.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
I know I'm doing a New York accent for Chicago, but.
Just putting. Yeah, they just have a little thing of like.
That's what the celery salt is.
It's like fish food, but it's like tapping it on. This is the Giardia. Yeah. It gets activated once it gets into your digestive tract.
It's like a little ketchup packet, but it's diarrhea in there. Like, what?
That is so upsetting to think about. That is so upsetting. Yeah. I hate that. Wow.
Nasty.
Catch a packet of diarrhea. We have to end this show forever. This is the last one.
After
good
that.
Grief.
We've threatened it many times, and that's it. It's over.
We truly can't make that the title of the episode, but... People would unsubscribe.
People would boycott our Patreon.
Somebody with notifications on being like, hey, new episode just dropped. Ketchup packet of diarrhea. Like, oh, why do I do this?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Anyway, plugs times.
Plugs.
Everybody! It's plugs. Best way to support the show, patreon.com/wordoftimepod. That's where we have tons of bonus episodes, live show video, Roadhouse commentary track, just a whole bonanza in there. So patreon.com/wordoftimepod. We met our goal for the doing the Death Nut Challenge, which is eating a series of increasingly spicy nuts. And we will be doing that, and that'll be out for patrons. We're saying by the end of the month. That is
a date is set. We have a date to record it, but we are too scared of what might happen if we do it live. So we're going to record it and then put the recording on the Patreon. Stay tuned.
So stay tuned for that. We'll let everyone know when that drops. So that's coming soon. And we just set a new goal at 1,300 patrons. We're going to do in honor of F9 coming out. I don't even know what it's called. The naming convention is too confusing. But it's Fate of the Furious, Fast 8. We're going to do another commentary track, and we're hoping to maybe record this one in we're going to do this one in person, I think. So that's exciting. So that should be fun. So get on board, and you can hear. And I don't think Kath and Eli have seen that yet.
I have not.
Right?
I'm saving it for when we do the commentary track,
so
and we are
get the movies. That's right.
We are currently 97 patrons away from meeting this goal. So, yeah. 97 of you, get on it.
Some of them.
We
I don't think
love...
I've seen Fate. I've seen some of them, and I couldn't tell you which ones I saw. Except Tokyo Drift, because that one's noticeably different.
I think I've seen all of them except 8 and the first one. I don't think I've ever seen the first one. I gotta check it out. I just watched 7, and there's a big Paul Walker tribute montage at the end, where there are a lot of flashbacks to number 1. And I was like, I gotta watch number 1. It looks good, based on these Paul Walker tribute flashbacks. Gotta check it out.
Yeah, it's very different.
It's pretty funny in the 7th one when they do that, because they basically make him drive to heaven. It's like Greece. Yeah. He just drives off to heaven into the distance.
That's nice. It's
very moving.
So that's it. 1,300 patrons. Patreon.com/WorldOfTimePod. We will do Fate of the Furious commentary track. And in the meantime, you get a bunch of stuff, including access to, as we said, the Death Note Challenge. So sign up today. Let's see. Something else you get if you're a patron, patreon.com/WhatATimePod, you get free shipping at our store, which is, you can find this all at whatatimepod.com, but it's whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. Lots of good stuff on there, including the goblin stance design that Eli drew. So check all that stuff out. And let's see what else. We got the Discord. If you want to chat with some cool folks, that's in the link in the description there. And if you're at the $10 patron level, you have access to the private channels, which I am incapable of making them sound like they're inappropriate, but they are just including story suggestions, which we heavily look at. So if you want to suggest something to us, that's the best way to do it for sure. Let's see what else. We have What a Time Pod on Twitter, What a Time Pod on Instagram, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. I think that's all off the top of my head. I'm Patty Mo on all the stuff. I don't have anything else to plug.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. we just released a free episode about the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum heist. That should be out by the time this comes out. We hit our Patreon goals, so we now do 2 free and 2 paid episodes a month, and a Patreon for that. I will have stand-up dates coming up, but I don't have anything in the super near future at the moment. So please, if you live in the New York area, check out my Twitter, Kath Barbadoro at Twitter. I will post dates on there. I would love to see you in person, but not via you coming to my house based on me doxing myself early in this episode.
That's right.
That's all I have to plug.
I have nothing to plug this week. We have stopped doing new episodes of TV&D for a moment. We're in between seasons of that, as we're calling it. But if you've never seen it, they are all on YouTube. It's a show where I play D&D with some old friends from College Humor as different TV casts. Other than that, you know, socials.
Cool.
Chili's Restaurants on Instagram.
See you next week, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Sorry we told you about a ketchup packet full of diarrhea.
I'm not sorry.
The guy was running!
Someone come get your man!
In the street!
And you'll forgive me, it's Barbadoro.
Todd Beamer. That's the 9/11 guy who said, "Let's roll," Todd Beamer. That's not, you don't think of that every time you hear "Let's roll"?
I don't know who the 9/11 guy who says, "Let's roll."
The guy on Flight 93, it was like on the phone call. He was like, "All right, let's roll." And then that's like when they rushed
the hero?
Yeah, he's one of the guys.